and welcome to another episode of the That's So Region podcast. I'm your host, Dan Reardon. I'm the night editor here at the Times of Northwest Indiana. We have a special guest this week. Joining us on the roundtable is a new employee over here at the Times, Stephanie Smpluski from the copy desk. Steph?
Hey, Dan. What's up? How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
We're about to change a lot of lives today. And with us, as always, the bon vivant of the Times, the one, the only...
Poet, podcaster, business reporter, and incompetent podcast producer, Joseph S. Pete. It is entirely my fault that our last podcast never aired. There were some snafus in the production. It was gold. Probably one of the greatest podcasts of all time. We would have won all kinds of fame,
right,
acclaim, and awards for it. It was about the pierogi drop in Whiting. Some great material. But the file got deleted and it was lost to history, sadly.
In a way, I'm glad because we would have reached such fame and accolades that I probably would have been dead of an overdose in 6 months. That'll forever be known as the lost episode of the That's the Region podcast. Starting off this week, today is Friday, January 25th. So if you're listening to this in the near future... we're all already dead because of snowpocalypse, because of the bitter, dystopian, hellscape future cold that we're dealing with. Joseph, will we be able to live through this horrible, horrible winter?
It's definitely Snowmageddon again. The polar vortex came and went, but they're saying cold wind chills could cause frostbite or exposed skin in as little as 30 minutes. There's been a wind chill advisory in effect. It was so cold, there was a Huffington Post reporter in Chicago who posted a photo of a dead rat that had frozen and was dead in a snowbank. So that's pretty bad when even rats aren't surviving.
Well, if that's how we have to get rid of them in Chicago, then that's, you know, so be it.
I occasionally will see dead ones on the street, but it'll be like construction debris or something that fell on it. Like, it's
right.
Not like... I thought they were designed to survive. Like, they have a natural fur coat, so it's like...
and just so you, all the listeners at home know, Stephanie is a full-fledged Regionite. You live in Dyer, the Dyer area,
yeah,
is that right,
that
Steph?
Is correct.
So outside of drinking, what do we do in the region to pass through the winter? What are some winter hobbies we would suggest to the listeners at home? Especially ones where we can't be outside for more than 30 minutes, where we might start to lose fingers or toes. Steph, what are you doing to get through this terrible winter?
I usually just stay home. Binge-watching Netflix has been my thing lately. I saw some kids outside sledding. Might have to do that after a couple drinks.
What's the worst that could ever happen? What do you say? What's the best sledding spot in the region?
Ooh, there's a spot right here. Right here at a community park that I've seen the kids
sliding down. Yeah, that's a pretty hellacious one.
And it's a former landfill, too, so it's...
Of course.
It's fun to walk up there in the summer. Sometimes it'll come up through the vents, the nice... the Eau de la Région.
It can get pretty extreme, though, because I saw kids sliding down. There's not really a barrier to separate them from the road, so...
Right.
They could become street pizza.
You know what? That's just, you know... That's how you separate the wheat from the chaff right there, is... Put them on that hill, and whoever knows how to veer right or left gets to survive in advance. Where did a young Joseph Pete sled on those cold winter
back
months?
In the day, it was the Oak Ridge Prairie and Oak Savannah Trail, Lake County Park in Griffith. They have a giant sledding hill there by the lake. It gets just packed. That's pretty much the main reason people will visit in the winter. You do have some cross-country skiers. But one of the great things about the region is that you have so many makeshift like sledding hills, like the Kennedy Avenue in downtown Highland. People slide down the sled down the bank. In downtown Hammond, you'll see where Holman kind of goes to the downtown. Any kind of like roadside embankment, you'll find kids like sledding down. So you got to give credit to the region for ingenuity and so forth in the winter.
That's right. And then. We're currently in this polar vortex, whatever you want to call it. Like I said, dystopian, wintry hellscape. And it's going to continue through next week. Early to mid-late next week, we could have record cold temperatures. I think maybe on Wednesday, negative 20 or something like that. So I would imagine that the bars of the region will be filled with people looking for some small respite from the cold and snow. Steph, what's your favorite watering hole on such horrible winter evenings?
I really enjoy Bullpen on Route 30.
Okay.
It's technically in Schererville. It's right on the border of Dyer and Schererville, right next to the library there. I like to go there every Thursday. We play some trivia, play some bingo, win some prizes. I don't always go home empty-handed, so it's a pretty good time.
So if you want to meet one of the That's So Region podcasters in person, show up to the bullpen on Thursdays. You could see Steph.
I'll be there.
Trivia. How about you, Joseph?
I am not sure. It's just lately I've just been kind of holing up and not avoiding going outside too much. Prefer to do stuff like where you can be inside for long periods, like the Field Museum or something like that. Where
yes,
you don't have
exactly.
This is the time of year where the Art Institute membership comes in really handy.
I bet.
Just have to just avoid the streets or just hunker down and Netflix binge or whatever.
And cold weather can bring on all sorts of maladies, inflammation, arthritis. This is called a segue in the business. We'll put you behind the scenes. And we had a story that actually ran in today's paper, the Friday, January 25th edition. You can pick up at stores everywhere or online at NWI.com. CBD oil. It is now everywhere. You cannot... swing a proverbial dead cat without being able to buy CBD oil. And the author of that article, our very own Joseph Pete. Joseph, A, how did this story kind of come about? And give us a little recap of it.
Well, there was the big snafu over CBD being legalized last year where it came about. There was some controversy in the state of Indiana whether it was legal or not. The attorney general is coming out hard against it, but then the state lawmakers voted, basically to legalize it. And then that hemp bill just passed, which legalizes hemp production, nationwide. So that was a big win for the fledgling industry that some people say could grow into like a $2 billion to $22 billion industry nationwide. It's like the next hot thing, and it's like all these retailers are jumping in to sell it. It does not have the THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, but it does engage like the nervous system to where people are using it for this treatment for anxiety, depression, but also like aches and pains, arthritis, seizures, a number of various ailments, post-traumatic stress disorder, just a garden variety of things. But all these retailers have jumped in to sell it. You're seeing it everywhere now. It's in lattes. It's in smoothies. It's in bath bombs. It is in wedding cake flavored popcorn at bridal shows. They are adding it to charcuterie. Just had an event in Griffith where they put it in bruschetta and they put it in the balsamic in like a flatbread pizza. Like there's just this big rush right now to kind of incorporate it into everything. You're seeing people sell gummies, oils, linguals, all kinds of vapes. It's such an eclectic mix of retailers that it just popped up of, because you're seeing legitimate pharmacies like Vito's Pharmacy, but you're also seeing vape shops, smoke shops.
Right.
There's a fireworks store that was one of the first to sell it. They had a very interesting character, Ricochet, the owner. He's like a SoundCloud rapper, and he goes by Ricochet, and he was like one of the first to sell it. He was selling it at like the Lake County Fairgrounds in 2017. The cops were like constantly questioning him, I guess, like whether it was like legal or not. But he like helped lobby the state lawmakers, and now you find it like you can drive down Broadway and they'll be selling it at a gas station in Gary. Like it's literally just all overnight. It's like everywhere basically.
So Joseph, my question to you is, you said you've talked about it being in lattes and bruschetta. How long before we see a Food Network show chef start cooking with this item?
Oh, probably soon. Because one thing they're doing a lot with the powder. Which is flavorless and odorless. There's actually a company out of Crown Point, Green Mountain Hemp and Wellness, I think. It might be Green Balance Hemp and Wellness. But they're distributing that. And so that you can they say you can basically even sprinkle it on pizza and it won't like affect the ruin it. So you can use it in all kinds of like cooking things. And they say like the smoothies and lattes are actually, because some people are like, they're not sure if it would work for them, if it would make sense, and they don't want to buy like a whole... the oil, like a whole bottle of the oil, it can be pretty pricey, but it's a way to kind of like try it out in an accessible way and just try it in like a latte or something. And they said it was the Fluid Coffee Bar said it was their best selling coffee drink of all time. They called it the Wes after Wes Anderson, the director of Royal Tenenbaums and so on. And then what they're saying is that It's so popular they're looking at rolling out like cold brews, stuff like that now, because it's really caught on.
And we have a story that's coming soon. We don't have a date pinned down for it yet, but keep an eye out at NWI.com as well as on newsstands. Our health reporter Giles Bruce will sort of be looking at, are these health benefits? Is it sort of a snake oil situation, or are there real health benefits? There's some conflicting, data as to how effective it is, but it's definitely very popular. And like Joseph said, there's a lot of controversy around it, but there's no THC in it. This stuff isn't going to get you high. It's not a gateway drug to legal marijuana. And Joseph, the one thing I thought that you mentioned in your story that was kind of interesting is that a lot of these customers you would think it's younger kids, but a lot of them tend to skew kind of older.
Yeah, my assumption, especially since it was at a lot of like vape shops and stuff, that tends to cater to like a younger clientele. But apparently, most of the places have been telling me it's a lot of seniors and people. And it's a lot like a lot of people are taking it because they don't want to use opioids, they don't want to use traditional painkillers, or they don't want to use like Xanax, or they're tired of pills. Like, it kind of appeals a lot to the people who are into like more natural medicine and that kind of thing. But then it's a lot of them that have been using it, especially like the salves and the balms and the coconut oils, and for that type like arthritis and that type of thing. They've said most of their customers are at least a lot are seniors, and most are at least above 40. Like, people aren't like, it's not one of those things where people are like doing it trying to get high or whatever. It's like
trying to get in with the cool kids. Anything to curb the pain.
Yeah, I mean, I would just, I shudder to think the amount of CBD. I mean, there is no amount that you can't do a ton of CBD oil and then all of a sudden get high. It's I think it'd be like trying to get drunk off of Odules, basically.
That's exactly, yeah, because they were saying that legally in Indiana it has to be less than 0.03% THC, which is actually less than like a near beer. It was 0.05, I believe, for like a near beer. And yeah, when I was deployed in Iraq too, there were people who, they did have near beer in the chow halls, and some people would try to,
oh really?
But it does not work.
I'm sure you saw some Herculean efforts of people trying to get that done.
The jailhouse wine, they did all kinds of
Yeah,
that toilet wine. That does not sound good at all, Joseph.
Yeah,
I did not try it.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about some concoctions that have been made in Cook County before that aren't particularly appetizing, but
we'll just bury the strawberries in a plastic bag and
just wait. do you guys think that does this in any way inform the state legislature's action on what they would do with legalized marijuana and or medical marijuana? Do you think this could create any sort of critical mass, Steph?
I believe so. I mean, Joseph just mentioned that it's a lot of the older crowd, especially with chronic pain that's, taking, what is it called? Cannabidiol?
Yeah.
Cannabidiol? Is that the official pronunciation?
We'll just call it CBD.
We'll just call it CBD.
I think that's why they call it CBD.
Because it's so hard, so difficult to pronounce. So it's not, like you said, a gateway drug or anything like that. So if the older population is taking it, maybe we're better off.